In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our New Testament reading this morning was that wonderful piece from Hebrews concerning the nature of faith. The author has, in the previous chapter, argued that faith is the guiding principle of spiritual life and the impetus of patient endurance. He has quoted the great saying from Habakkuk, "The just shall live by faith." And here, at the beginning of today's reading, he proceeds to define faith as the assurance, the substance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Faith and hope are always intimately connected. Our identity as God's people is always stated as a question of hope, an unfulfilled and always fulfilling prophecy. Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again. Faith is a rich word because it points to a vital reality. While even everyday words can have a spiritual dimension, just as the ordinary events of our lives can speak to us of holy things, a word like faith points to the realm of mystery and depth that lies beyond our ordinary experience. Perhaps in the land of beyond words. Words alone, of course, cannot convey their power. There are many things in life that are indescribable. The power of music and art, falling in love, the death of a friend. As Frederick Buchner writes in his book, Beyond Words, how can we begin to describe such things other than to say that they are ultimately indescribable? You can know them only by experiencing them for yourself. Thus, we are constantly challenged to embark upon a quest to discover the question to which our faith is the answer. We are people of a question. And we celebrate this as Anglicans. We give each other the ability and space to question, to doubt, to wrestle, and to rest in the tensions. But as Christians, we are also the faith descendants of the people of question. Like our faith ancestors, our identity is stated as a question. We, by our identity as Christians, choose to live in a liminal place of hope. For hope is always liminal, marginal. Hope is always searching and traveling and restless. To be hopeful and to be Christian is akin to and descended from a long line of nomadic peoples. I think that's why the author of Hebrews fleshes out his definition of faith, not by a theological argument, but rather by a description of the results of faith in the lives of the great heroes of Israel. People whose very lives were a testimony to the faith in God which was central to them. Faith which for them was the unseen foundation, the bedrock, as it were, which guaranteed the full possession of all that God had promised. And the same thought comes through in our gospel today, where Jesus says to his disciples, "Fear not, little flock. It is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." Faith and fear are quite unable to coexist. Faith is the antithesis of fear. "Do not live in fear," Jesus says to his disciples and to us. "Instead, know that the kingdom is yours. What God has promised, God will perform." The author of Hebrews holds up for us the example of Abraham, the great father of the faithful, the man who left kith and kin in the land of the Chaldeans in Mesopotamia and moved out on a journey with God to the land of Canaan, a place he had never been. He accepted God's challenge and obeyed God's call because he trusted God and believed God's promises. Another proof of Abraham's enduring faith is seen in his willingness to dwell as a stranger in the land that he had been promised, without rights and possession, although eventually he did purchase a small piece of land as a burying place. Abraham's faith was such that he was willing to live as an alien in his own land. And even more, Abraham was the one to whom, with his wife Sarah, God promised descendants more numerous than the stars in the sky. But then no children came. Think of the faith required to believe in that promise as the years went by and the biological clocks of the two of them wound down. Remember the story of how when three messengers from God came to Abraham and Sarah in their old age and told them that within the next year they would become parents. And Sarah laughed because it all seemed so ridiculous. And yet God's promise was made good and Isaac was born. That is the kind of faith to which we are called, that firm trust in God's calling to us, that willingness to obey. In our life as Christians, we are called to be what my friend Graham Garrett describes as Saturday people. People who live in a world in which there is trouble and misfortune and sickness and even disaster. A world the reality of which is expressed in the pain and suffering of Good Friday. And yet, people who see the glory of the promise fulfilled on Easter morning. And it is towards that promise that we who live in the indeterminate times of Saturday, the time of waiting, the time for faith and for hope, it is toward the promise, that promise, that we set our hearts and our faces. To put it another way, God entrusts us with a holy freedom. People of faith have always had the option of returning to the land they left behind. But we know that land. It's the one we always view with rose-colored glasses, the one that the Israelites in the wilderness longed for, the land with leeks and garlic, forgetting the saves that they had been in that land. And we need to remember that our God is a God who is always calling us into new life, calling us into the future. Faith is future-oriented, trusting that God will keep God's promises. The life of faith is a pilgrimage, a journey. The God who calls us to new life gives us a vision of the homeland we seek. Such vision enabled Abraham to remain faithful to the elusive, unseen God who called him. The faith of Abraham and Sarah was more than right thinking. It also involved right acting. It involved not just their minds, but their whole beings. Do not be afraid, Jesus says to his disciples in today's gospel. Do not be afraid, because it is God the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Set your minds on the kingdom. Don't worry about your possessions. In fact, sell them and share what you have with the poor. Set your hearts on the treasure of heaven, God's treasure, which cannot fail. In the words of the author of Hebrews, set your minds on the heavenly country, the city which God has prepared for us. Jesus says, be ready for action, ready to go wherever God may lead you. That's what being people of faith is about. The exemplars of faith whom the author of Hebrews sets before us took God at his word when he made promises for the future. We too, as the new pilgrim people of God, are to take God's promises made to us in Christ, made to us in the new covenant sealed by Christ's death and resurrection, as a strength for our pilgrimage. We are to take God's promises as the hope which will sustain us on our life's journey, a journey made in the company of God. As Frederick Buckner reminds us, remember that faith is more of a process than a possession, more an on-again, off-again than a once-and-for-all. Faith is not being sure where you're going, but going anywhere. It's a journey without maps. And remember, too, that Jesus says to us, as he did to his disciples, "Do not be afraid, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." We are secure in the love and care of God, our Creator and Savior, who has promised to keep us in the joy of his presence forever. Amen.